Okay, it seems almost cruel to not hear the rest of the album, doesn't it? That's Monty Alexander with Marley's Running Away. It's a beautiful orchestration, and you should try and get a hold of it, because it really is quite, it is a wonderful orchestration. That's all I could tell you. Everything comes together so nicely. Well, happy Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth National Independence Day. And happy Father's Day at the same time. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yutrice Lead. And it is Free Your Mind Friday. So I'm expecting to hear a lot from you about these two holidays. As far as the Juneteenth celebration is concerned, it only took 158 years. So pardon some of us who are not all that, overwhelmed by the final passage of this. This was an effort that people had to fight for and lobby for and just go to bat for 158 years to mark the official, or at least semi-official, end of slavery. President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. So when I hear some people getting, some expressing objections to all kinds of things that they perceive.
We're talking about this being Free Your Mind Friday, and on Free Your Mind Friday, it is all about you having your say about any subject you choose. Of course, we expect you to be responsible in the use of the air, but we're not going to tell you what you should be talking about. We're just hoping that you use it as an exercise in becoming more and more familiar with the technology of, funny I should use that word, but the technology of using any medium effectively to express a point of view. It's up to you to decide what you want to talk about, and we'll be listening. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. The folks at the studio have decided to switch over, and we're making the best of the situation we find ourselves in, over which we really do not have full control. It's the telephone system. Our friends at T-Mobile, I'm sure they're doing what they can to make sure that we have a smooth broadcast, but so far it's not working. All right, Bruce from Queens, you're on the air. Hello.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a. You're quite welcome. I have a concern. I was wondering, whatever happened to Charles Ortel and his investigation of the Clinton Foundation?
Oh, Charles is working on finishing a book on that and other related topics, but he's almost done, and we expect him back here as soon as that is over.
Fantastic. Oh, that was just my freeing my mind off on that for Friday.
Okay. So that's
all right.
Good. Yes, expect them soon, but soon being probably more than a month or so, because he's working feverishly to finish the book, and he has other projects that he's hoping to tie up quickly, and then we'll make arrangements for him to have his great comeback on PRN.
That's great. Because, the reason why this came up is because I look at the 45th president and how he just ran wild like a bull in a glass shop with the political system and the presidency. And like he's like Teflon, nothing sticks to him. You got the Republicans sticking by him and all the stuff that he was doing. And it seems like no justice. But if we do anything, we get swift justice. You know, regardless of what it is, we get justice immediately. But when they do things like this, even in the, up there in the presidency and in politics, it's always a stall tactic or a delay in justice, the way I see it.
You're right. And it also has to do with the perception that our community is weak. The community does not yet present a challenge to the system, as far as the system is concerned. We see one exception here or one exception there, and it has to do with the fear of a movement getting bigger. But that's pretty much where it ends as well. But we do not have, we are not impressing this system on a consistent basis that we're serious about what we are concerned about. Thanks for calling in, Bruce. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks. 888-874-4888. We are making, we've done a lot of patching, and the engineers are doing their best to keep us on the air. We are experiencing, I suppose, the side effects, although it's a major effect for us, of systems in Florida that are not up to par and that are giving us a little bit of trouble. So we have to go with the flow. Joe from Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, one of your listeners said that Fauci owned a patent on something, and I wasn't quite sure. And he even gave the patent number. And I don't know what day it was. I don't know if I could access it from your archives. But I wonder if the guy is listening that today, hopefully, that he would call in and give that information again. I would be marvelous if you remembered it, but I doubt that you...
Oh, yes. The guy you're talking about is none other than Gary Null. And he's been...
He called your show?
He doesn't call my show. He has his own show.
Yeah, I know. No, I have listened to Gary for 40 years. No, Latrice, somebody, one of your listeners called in and gave that information while they were talking to you.
I think he was repeating the information from Gary's show.
Okay. Well, I don't...
Because Gary was the first person I heard who shared that information.
Okay. Do I have a remedy to solve my problem? I'll find out.
I'll find out from Gary's producers what day it was that he raised this issue, and I'll announce it on the air when I get an answer.
All right. Thank you very much. And by the
way, you're welcome.
I don't mind the disruptions in your show. I'm very patient with it because it's worthwhile waiting for. That's a compliment.
Oh, well, you just made my day.
Okay. Well, you know, the other day you asked, if I may continue, which I didn't plan to do this. The other day you asked a lot of tough questions, annoying questions to me. But your demeanor was so exuberant. And I'm not patronizing you at all. Just stating the facts that you made my day, okay?
Thank you.
You understand?
Very much.
Did that come across right?
Yes, that came across perfectly.
Okay, thank you.
It made me feel better. Thanks.
Enjoy your show. I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
888-874-4888. We are in the middle of coping with a slight technical problem. None of our making, but we still have to deal with it. And there will be an answer in the future as to how we finally fix this. The connection from where I am to the studio is not sound. It's not ironclad, apparently. And sometimes we just unexpectedly get disconnected from our studio, and often. So we have to do something about that. 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday. That's when you decide what you want to talk about, and you are in charge. So use your time wisely. 888-874-4888. E from Edgewater, you're back.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, E. What's going on?
I've been paying close attention.
Good.
Didn't you used to end your shows with that on BAI?
I'm sorry?
When you were on BAI, didn't you used to end the show, you would say, have a good, you know, weekend, or and if the creek don't rise, and pay close attention.
Yeah. I used to say all those kinds of things, yes.
Oh, I felt like you coined that one, pay close attention. That was like something.
No,
that
was...
Robert Knight?
No, it was Bernard White.
Oh, okay. I thought he stole it from you.
Pay close attention.
I thought he took that from you, like back talk. Was it a talk back or something?
Talk back, yeah.
Right. Anyway, with all the baby boomers reaching retirement age, and, you know, a lot of them got jobs with civil service, and they all probably receiving good pensions and Social Security, probably have money. And I'm sure, like myself, and I'm putting this out there to the other listeners, the PRN audience, I would be interested in buying a unit in a senior citizen, senior community that's off the grid and has solar panels already. You know, it's all ready. Maybe in order to get it started, the people would have to put up the money to secure a unit, and then the place could be built. But, you know, I know Gary Null has a place in Naples that's off the grid. That's his own private place. And he also built a place for veterans. And I guess he had to put up his own money. But this would be the money from the people I'm talking about, the baby boomers that I'm sure inherited money from their parents, because their parents went through depression and they learned how to save money. And they left them some money. There must be a lot of millions of people looking for,
but what
down here in Florida where I live, there is a lot of senior communities, but I don't think any of them are off the grid and healthy. You know, I'm thinking community gardens. You have a nice place.
Yes,
doesn't have to
what
be
I'm trying to communicate with you is that this is not the most effective way to do it, to make your proposition or to put your idea out. Do you have a prospectus prepared?
Well, like I said, Gary made it for the veterans so it could be done.
Yes, but easier. I'm saying the thing you specifically want to do, do you have a prospectus rather than, you know, tell us off the top of your head what it is you envision or what you think might be possible or what you think is a good idea? It is never a good idea until you write it down.
Hmm.
You can't reach a million people, you know, telling them one by one what your idea is. So the typical approach would be to put your idea in writing, to do some research, to make the case that this is a workable idea that has to be capitalized. You have to have some kind of a budget or a prediction as to how much it would cost, who you're looking for as investors, what you expect to give them in return for their investment. You know, it's a prospectus. You will not be taken seriously when you just talk about your idea. Somebody may just grab your idea and combine it with all the things I just talked about, and voila, they have a prospectus. And they can now shop it around. That's the work you have to do. When you have a great idea, or you think you have a great idea, you have to take ownership of it, and you have to shepherd it in such a way that you maintain control of your idea. It's very, very important. I know a lot of projects that got stolen or co-opted because people didn't take that step to protect their intellectual property. So you shouldn't talk about it any more until you have formalized it.
Can I respond to what you're saying, Trace?
Sure, sure.
Okay, I've discussed it with other people that I know, people in my family, and I've gotten some feedback. You know, there's a lot of logistics involved. That's why I'm putting it out there, because I want what you're saying to happen. I'm not a capitalist, and I was born to be a human being, and that's what I am. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to have a career. I don't have to become anything, because I already am what I am, just like a lion is a lion and a bear is a bear. And you can laugh at me and say, funny.
No, I'm saying that at the same time, you already are giving yourself an out from your own idea. If you have an idea that you are absolutely committed to because you think it is viable and it is workable, you deserve to give yourself a shot by putting the finishing touches on your idea, formalize it as a proposal or a plan, and then you shop it. Don't talk about it until you have the whole idea conceptualized and put somewhere down on paper.
Okay, so I understand all that. I'm just putting it out there to do a small poll with the PRN audience. If everybody would cooperate, Henry.
What I'm cautioning you about, PRN audience or any audience, there's no exception to the fact that once you are convinced that you have a workable, viable, doable idea that would in turn be financially rewarding and that has the promise of being a good business prospect, you should formalize it so that you put it down on paper and you therefore have ownership of the idea.
I'm sure you could go on the internet and find this place already exists. I haven't done research. I'm putting this out just for the PRN audience to see if they're like-minded people.
I'm trying to tell you, there's no such thing as just for the PRN audience. Once you're on air, it's for everybody. Everybody everywhere. There's no such thing as the PRN audience.
I might be reaching somebody right now as we're speaking that knows more about it than anybody else, and they could call in and give us all the information.
Yes, but this is a dangerous way to go, and it may work against you as opposed to for you. I'm just saying, be careful, especially when you have something that could be regarded as a viable or tenable business proposition. This is not just an idea now. It's a business proposition. You deserve to do it for yourself first, formalize your idea, put it down on paper, and go from there. But you shouldn't be talking about it until you have a formal idea.
Just between me and you, Yatrice, you live in like a complex, right? You live in some kind of building complex somewhere down in Florida, down here. Now, is it off the grid?
No.
So would you prefer if it was?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay. I'm curious, why wouldn't you prefer to have it that way?
Because I have not seen, and I'm not saying there aren't such models that are efficient and working well and whatnot. I have come to know Florida as a place where not everything works well. And I don't want to be putting myself in a situation where I am still wrestling with things, people doing things in a slipshod way. You either have it down pat, you either can document what it is you're after or what the concept is and that you're serious about it, your sources or potential sources of capital to assure that all the things you envision will actually exist in your concept. And it's a business plan. I'm trying to tell you, you can't get away with it by just promulgating
an original
idea. It wouldn't work.
Right. My original bringing it up was from Gary Null's retreats. You know, that's what I would model it after, since people go to his retreats. They like to
You don't know his model. This is what I'm saying. You have no idea what his model is. Have you seen any of his models?
Yeah, well, he has the people that have gone to his place. They call in and say how great it was. So I would think people would
like
to
meet him 24/7. I am one of them. I have been to his retreat. I have had
the 24/7.
We are on two different planes because you're not listening. You're not hearing what I'm saying.
I'm listening.
No matter what you have seen and experienced for yourself, it might have planted a germ or a seed in your mind that this is something worth pursuing. If it is worth pursuing, then you get serious about it and you put together a serious business plan, a model that says, this is the concept. This is what I think could work. This is what it would cost, typically. And this is the money I have to raise. This is the income I hope to get. And therefore, it's a viable project. Anything else is just talk. And people shouldn't listen.
Okay, have a good weekend now, Yatrice. Thanks for letting
me
talk. Okay,
thank you, E. Thanks a lot. And Franklin, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
I am here.
Yes, I'm here too.
Okay. I like the last caller, what he was talking about. I actually called in to say the patent number that the previous caller was looking for. I had written it down when Gary talked about it on June 3rd, and that patent number that Fauci and the CDC created was 722-0852. 722-0852 that guy was looking for. And the other thing, the last caller, I understand what he's talking about. He looks like he's trying to reach out, and I'm looking for a similar, what he's looking for too, very, you know, off the grid and sustainable. And the resource that I've been using, I just go online, and one of the places I looked at was IC.org, and IC stands for Intentional Communities. And there's, you know, you can just put in, you know, I put in intentional communities New York, and that's the first thing that came up. There's one in Ithaca. They're all over the place in the United States. But I understand what he's saying. Before I started my small market farm a couple decades ago, I went around to different other farms and saw what their models were. And then I went to NOFA, you know, Maine, and, you know, went to the festival there and learned from all different farmers how they set things up. And you gather your information, which is, I think, what you're saying. I don't know if he wants to start an actual community, or whether he's just looking to be in one or find like-minded people to start it with him. But that's what I had to share.
Well, my caution is, whatever it is you want to do, whether you want to start a community, such a community, or whether you want to participate in such a community, the first thing you want to do is gather some research and find out whether this is something you want to invest time and money and effort in, so that you refrain from being misguided and you stick to what the reality is, no matter what level the involvement that you wish to have. That is where people get a lot of heartache. They imagine that this is the way this works. No, you have to get the model. You have to go talk to people. You have to see for yourself. And you have to get facts and figures. That's very important. Instead of finding out too late, after you've laid out money and time and whatnot, and you have all these expectations, which will not possibly work, not based on what it is you want, you have to make sure that you've done the work of ascertainment. You've looked into it carefully enough that you feel comfortable in going further with the project.
Right. Yeah, you before you do the business plan, though, go and talk to people who are doing it already and see if it's even something, you know. Sometimes you go and look into a career and it's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that it had 90% all this other stuff and only 10% of it is the joy. Or, you know, if that's your perception of it. You know, whereas other people might walk in and go,
joy,
oh, that 90%
to me headache.
Is it would work for them better.
Yeah, I know. It's something I've talked to so many people who have found themselves in this situation. They get fixated on the idea, not knowing whether it's a workable idea or viable idea or anything even suited to who they are and what they want out of life. So you have to stop and refrain from yielding to what you think is a great idea and find out if it's a great idea on paper. If it's a great idea on paper, then you have options to proceed. And then it tells you how to proceed, you see? I'm a great believer in that. You can't just jump into things, especially these days, when at a particular age, you're dealing with hard-earned money, and you can't afford to lose it because you're not getting it back. You have to be very careful about these judgments, you know.
Yes, and research is very important to make sure that the rose color is still there once you get those rose-colored glasses off.
Well, that is well put. Well put.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, Utrecht. Thank you for your program. You always bring some light into my life.
Thank you so much, Anne, and thanks for calling in today. Ray, is Ray from Florida still with us?
I am. I want to call about that patent. Well, a previous caller identified the number 722-0852. I first heard it on the Gerald Celente show, And the caller claimed the patent is owned by Fauci and the CDC. Okay, that patent number is titled Coronavirus Isolated from Humans. And it was issued May 22nd, 14 years ago, in 2007. Fauci's name does not appear among the 22 inventors. All the inventors were working at various locations in Georgia. Assigning a patent to the company or government agency funding the research is nothing unusual or nefarious. That's all I wanted to add.
Are you there?
Yes. Did you hear what I just said?
So you said, so I wanted to ask, and I'm waiting for you to finish the sentence.
Oh, maybe you didn't hear any of what I said. I'm not sure. I confirmed the number that your previous caller gave.
Right.
And I went to the patent office and investigated that number. It's the patent number is titled Coronavirus Isolated from Humans. And it was issued May 22nd in 2007, 14 years ago. Fauci's name does not appear among the 22 inventors. All the inventors were working at various locations in Georgia. And assigning a patent to the company or the government agency funding the research is nothing unusual or nefarious. That's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for that. Thank you very much.
You're
Henry
welcome.
From Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Okay. How are you?
All right. Had a big storm, but now we're getting back to 90-degree weather, and my understanding is a lot of the rest of the country
is... That's the thing about Chicago. You're either frying or you're freezing.
Yeah, that's typically what Chicago is. I wanted to wish you and the PRN audience and Lead Story listener happy, productive, safe weekend. Also, a happy Juneteenth, which I wanted to talk about real quickly because, you know, I think it's ironic that they're making this a federal holiday, but yet at the same time, there are parts of the country that is trying to get rid of, quote unquote, critical race theory from, you know, the schools. And it's also interesting, too, because, you know, we talked about the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre that that commemorated the 100-year anniversary of it. And a lot of us, you know, didn't know about it, you know, from like the past, like 20 years. And same thing with, you know, with Juneteenth. Like me, I mean, I saw the name of it back in the 90s, but I never understood what it was. But I actually got a lesson from it about 10 years ago from a woman who knew more about it than I did. And because her birthday is around this time and she celebrates it. And, you know, she gave me a history lesson on it. So, and I think a lot of other people, you know, probably didn't know about it as well. So, you know, it's ironic that this is being a federal holiday, but they're also, you know, trying to remove, you know, what they, like I said, what they call critical race theory. So, I mean, they basically, that's all I wanted to add to that.
Okay. Is that it?
That is it.
Okay. Well, have a great weekend, Dad.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. I thought I'll get back to you on for my birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think,
you know,
I know you are a great father, and I'm thinking that we need millions more just like you, taking this business of fatherhood so seriously and investing the time with children, especially when they're young and impressionable. You come away as a child, you come away with an indelible picture in your mind, not only about who your father is, but what your father is. And I know you're taking good care about the what, not just the who, but the what you are as a father to your children. And it is a kind of, believe it or not, it is therapy for the future. When children have within reach and within view and within their experience, a person who makes such a difference in their lives, you don't have to say anything and you don't have to go and be, well, you know, I'm your father. You're just yourself. You're just setting an example. And sometimes, you know, you don't know how you're affecting and how you're teaching. You're just going about your business. But you're being very carefully observed. And many lessons are taught without you saying a word.
I'm glad you said that, because, you know, there was an old saying that on a TV show I used to watch called Game of Thrones. And one of the guys said, if you have to declare yourself to be a king, you are no king at all.
That's it. That's true. I was very, very, very lucky. And I revisit that thought almost every day, that I had an extraordinary father, extraordinary mother too, but they were ordinary people, but extraordinary, ordinary people. And the way they went about the business of parenthood still sticks with me. I'm in my 60s. And I can't think of a better choice for parents than who I had. You know, yes, we think sometimes they're terrible, they're obnoxious, they're unfair, they're this, they're that, but they are beacons of light. Long after they're gone, they remain so. And I suspect you're one of those. You're one of those.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell. You're one of those. And we need many more joining the battalion to take this business of parenting very seriously, especially fathers. Fathers are a special breed. And when we have good fathers, good mothers too. But I'm speaking in the context of the holiday or the observance of Father's Day. Fathers are so very important in our lives. And we ought to acknowledge it. If they're still alive, acknowledge it and let them know how great it is to have them in your life. That's a lifetime investment right there, without them spending a penny or without you spending a penny. But it's a wonderful thing, and I congratulate all fathers. And I commend all fathers taking seriously this business of fatherhood. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you for listening and participating. We will get this thing solved. I suspect it will call for an upgrade in our technological capabilities, so we're not constantly at the mercy of the big guys, and we don't have to have our, you know, fists all balled up when we come to the air, hoping that everything will go just fine. We'll fix it. It will be fixed. Have yourselves a great weekend. Take it easy. And do spend a lot of time celebrating fathers that you have among you. Bye-bye.